Langdon still found it hard to believe that this massive tower had collapsed in 1902, leaving an enormous pile of rubble on St. Mark's Square. Remarkably, the lone casualty in the disaster had been a cat. Visitors to Venice could experience the city's inimitable atmosphere in any number of breathtaking locales, and yet Langdon's favorite had always been the Riva degli Schiavoni. The wide stone promenade that sat along the water's edge had been built in the 9th century from dredged silt and ran from the old arsenal all the way to St. Mark's Square. Lined with fine cafes, elegant hotels, and even the home church of Antonio Vivaldi, the Riva began its course at the arsenal, Venice's ancient shipbuilding yards, where the piney scent of boiling tree sap had once filled the air as boat builders smeared hot pitch on their unsound vessels to plug the holes. Allegedly, it had been a visit to these very shipyards that had inspired Dante Alighieri to include rivers of boiling pitch as a torture device in his Inferno. Langdon's gaze moved to the right, tracing the Riva along the waterfront and coming to rest on the promenade's dramatic ending. Here at the southernmost edge of St. Mark's Square, the vast expanse of pavement met the open sea. During Venice's golden age, this stark precipice had been proudly dubbed the edge of all civilization. Today, the 300-yard-long stretch where St. Mark's Square met the sea was lined, as it always was, with no fewer than 100 black gondolas, which bobbed against their moorings, their scythe-like bow ornaments rising and falling against the white marble buildings of the piazza. Langdon still found it hard to fathom that this tiny city, just twice the size of Central Park in New York, had somehow risen out of the sea to become the largest and richest empire in the West. As Maurizio powered the boat closer, Langdon could see that the main square was absolutely mobbed with people. Napoleon had once referred to St. Mark's Square as the drawing room of Europe, and from the looks of things, this room was hosting a party for far too many guests. The entire piazza looked almost as if it would sink beneath the weight of its admirers. "My God," Sienna whispered, gazing out at the throngs of people. Langdon wasn't sure whether she was saying this out of fear that Zobrist might have chosen such a heavily populated location to release his plague, or because she sensed that Zobrist might actually have had a point in warning about the dangers of overpopulation. Venice hosted a staggering number of tourists every year, an estimated 1/3 of 1% of the world's population. Some 20 million visitors in the year 2000. With the additional billion added to the Earth's population since that year, the city was now groaning under the weight of 3 million more tourists per year. Venice, like the planet itself, had only a finite amount of space, and at some point would no longer be able to import enough food, dispose of enough waste, or find enough beds for all those who wanted to visit it. Ferris stood nearby, his eyes turned not toward the mainland, but out to sea, watching all the incoming ships. "You okay?" Sienna asked, eyeing him curiously. Ferris turned abruptly. "Yeah, fine, just thinking." He faced front and called up to Maurizio. "Park as close to St. Mark's as you can." "No problem." Their driver gave a wave. 2 minutes. The limo had now come even with St. Mark's Square, and the Doge's Palace rose majestically to their right, dominating the shoreline.